Now it's recording.
Oh, when you...
Okay, so here we are now. We're recording, we're good. All right, this is going to be fun. It's fun anyway talking about the chakras, but it's going to be particularly fun speaking to some of you who I know have been hearing about the chakras for years, and some of you who are probably hearing about them for the first time. So we're going to see if we can find a happy medium here that will keep us all interested and feeling like we're expanding and growing, and yet not leave anybody over here in la-la land not knowing what's going on. If you have any questions at any time, if something's not making sense, it's a little hard to feel like this is totally informal when there's 20-some of you out there. But always interrupt. I'm sure Connie will feel the same way. Just raise your hand and stop us. We really want you to grasp as much of it as you can. Having said that, one of the interesting things about anything we teach, I think probably anywhere, I happen to be a physician, for those of you who don't know that about me, along with being one of the ministers and teachers here at Ananda, and I guess along with many other roles in the world, I practice a lot of medicine. So over the years, of course, I could hear about something the first time and learn it, but by the 10th time I've heard about it, I really know it. I've matured and I can take it in a different way. That is really particularly true on the spiritual path, because it's the nature of the spiritual path it's directional. It's intentional and it's directional, and that's very important. So most of us don't necessarily arrive somewhere on the spiritual path. We don't get there and get done. But we get onto a path and we keep moving and growing and expanding, and things that we hear this year we can take in a very different way than we heard last year, because it's the nature of the soul as it expands. As the soul expands, we quit listening and learning so much with our mind, and we begin to understand and know and intuit the truth. And as that happens, we just take things in a different way. I just had a profound, beyond my ability to explain in words, and I don't want to spend much time trying to do that, but I had a profound experience this past weekend, which was Easter, as I'm sure many of you will remember. And we have wonderful services here. We're starting with Palm Sunday, but then Good Friday, and then an all-day retreat on Saturday, and then our Easter service on Sunday. And as I was listening to the service on Sunday, now, I've been reading about Easter probably as long as anybody in this room has. In fact, I may have been reading about it for a lot more years as I look around. I may well be the oldest one here. Hearing the Easter story, listening to it at Ananda, through Ananda, and this interpretation and commentary since the 1970s, I had the feeling this past weekend that I actually understood the resurrection and the meaning of the resurrection to each of us for the first time ever. Now, I might have said that last year, and I might have said it the year before, but it was profound this year. It's like something came to me, although I've been hearing it over and over and over, that just let me feel like, have I heard this story before? Have I understood one word that Jesus was trying to say to us? I mean, that's what I was thinking. Or why he came, why he lived, what that whole thing meant with him on the cross. It was extraordinary in the true meaning of the word, extraordinary. That's what happens when you're on a spiritual path. Suddenly something comes in that you could have read it before, heard it before, and it's just like hearing it for the first time. Now, I know there are a few of you who have taken this class before and who take many of the classes over and over, so they're a testimony to what I'm trying to say. The chakras are an interesting area to try and talk about and teach. They are esoteric, we might say. They are, although absolutely essential and at the core of all spiritual growth and development, they are the most subtle aspect of the spiritual path. Very difficult I'm not letting myself off of any hooks here, and I'm not trying to let Connie off of any hooks, but they are very difficult in a certain way to talk about. Now, you were all drawn here for some reason, but I know there are certain people who are drawn because they want to know what colors to wear or what flower essence to purchase, or they think that there's some immediate way to heal through the chakras. I mean, there's a kind of intrigue about the chakras in the general public. But I'm talking about when we really want to discuss, when we want to begin to explore, what do they mean to us on a spiritual path? Because that's what we'll be doing here. We will describe each chakra and the associated color and sound and planet and many other aspects of it. And Connie will, in the second half of each evening, show you phenomenal slideshows that she's put together. So I'll say it in words, and then she'll do "A Picture Says a Thousand Words." And it does. But what it's all about, no matter how it is how can we take this in and begin to know that it is absolutely by allowing ourselves to begin to have an experience of the chakras and their meaning in our life that we can grow spiritually. Now, I'm going to talk tonight in general about the chakras, and then next week we start with 1, 2, and so we go all the way up to 7. Of course, there are 7 chakras. There are 6 that we can really talk about easily. The 7th is a little more difficult, and we'll give a nod to it in our last class and do a summary then. But tonight I wanted to give a little bit of a background. I wanted to try and share a little bit about why do we care? What's the point? What meaning do they have for us? How can we begin to find meaning in them? So there are some basic premises that we're going to go with in this class. And this is why I said it's a little tricky, because there are a few of you sitting out there that I don't know. And we'll have to see how many people choose to keep coming back after we hear what we're going to hear tonight. But hopefully we're at least all intrigued enough to want to know more. In order to begin to have an experience or to know about the chakras, there are certain things that we just need to sort of accept. We don't really just have to accept them, and there are many of us, again, who have spent a long time. We may do this backwards, but usually later in the year we do an 8-week class on karma and reincarnation. Who knows if we should do that first? But beginning to understand that we are manifestations of pure energy, that each and every one of us are here because in some moment the divine consciousness, which was one, which was a solitary presence in the universe, for reasons that to this day have been inexplicable to most people, including myself, decided that he would manifest himself. Now I'm speaking in simple terms. This is not a he and it's not a himself. It's energy. It's pure energy that at some point decided to manifest that energy. And the way that energy got manifested from that state of oneness, we call it super consciousness. We have many names for it. You'll hear a lot of them. Was by having a thought, by literally having a thought, or it's spoken about, Swami Kriyananda would say to you, if you listen to these, that this whole universe was really a dream of the divine. And just in the way that in a dream, in the dream world, when you're in a dream, it feels completely real. As Yogananda said, who's the... Oops. You're going to see pictures of Yogananda. Paramahansa Yogananda is the avatar, a manifestation of that pure divine energy, who came from India in the 1920s, who lived in the United States until he died in 1952, and who Swami Kriyananda lived with for the last few years of his life. We call that being a direct disciple, somebody who's lived with an avatar being, Jesus, Moses, Krishna, Buddha, all of these great teachers that we've all always heard about who manifest on earth because we need them to be here. So when the Jewish people were in great trouble thousands of years ago and getting lost spiritually, they prayed hard enough, literally, that Moses literally took a body and manifested on earth to help them through a very complicated time in the Jewish people's history. The same was true for the Jews 2013 years ago when Jesus came. These avatars appear with great love and deep devotion, and here, when they hear this need in the human condition for guidance, for somebody to start showing them the way again, because they've gotten lost or confused. Probably the Jewish people were the best example of it because they were a very devoted people, a very religious people. They loved God deeply. But at some point, they started worshiping money and their kings more than God. So in a complicated story that I won't go into any more than to lay it out like this, Moses appeared to them, and then Jesus appeared to them many years later, literally saying, "Let me show you the way back to that which you once knew you wanted, but you've gotten lost." And what is it that they wanted? It was their soul's longing to go back home, if you will, to be part of that divine presence again, to remember their oneness with all that is, to love in the purest form, not to be living in terms of all of these material realities that we live in terms of. All of us do, all of us in this room. And we actually begin to believe from the minute we're conceived, by the way, from the minute the sperm and ova come together, and immediately the first part of the body that's formed is the medulla. But even as they come together and there's a spark that happens and a soul is attracted to that union of the sperm and the ova, in that moment, ego is born. In that very moment, Yogananda says, ego is a soul identified with a body. That's what the ego is. As soon as there's an ego, the ego begins to say, this is me. I have likes and dislikes. Now, it doesn't say that as a brand new baby, but it says it in its own way. I have needs. I am comforted from the outside in, even for a brand new baby, whether it's feeding, whether it's having its diaper changed, even though if you look at brand new babies in different ways, with your eyes wide open, your intuition present, you will very often see in newborns, you can see in them. I just had this experience with my niece had a baby exactly 6 months ago. I flew to D.C. to see the baby. It was 3 weeks old. And honestly, I'm not making this up, and I don't mean it to be funny, but people always giggle, so feel free if you want, but it's the truth. And that is that this baby was so angry about being stuck in this tiny little body. I could see it in her. She was acting, I've never seen it be so real in a child, although I've seen hints of it before, like, what in the world has happened to me? I was this free, expansive being, and now I am stuck in this body, and you're putting all these clothes on me, and people are lifting me up and putting me where they want me. And you know, really, Yogananda, who remembers being an infant, he says when he takes a human form, it's like putting on a hot, heavy winter coat on a hot summer day. That's how confining it feels to come into a body again. Because, and this is what gets so hard to, this is why I said it could all sound a little like woo-woo if you're not ready for it. But I'm just putting it out there. Because, you know, I don't know it's the truth because I remember. That's not where I am. But I'm in a place where there are certain things, after years and years and years of meditation, study, this extraordinary grace about being around great people, watching enough miracles, seeing it happen, feeling them in my life, watching it in other people's lives. I mean, real miracles. You just start getting, this is the truth. It's just simply the truth. You don't have to see it much till you begin to get, they couldn't be fooling me this often. When that baby is born and that soul reincarnates,